The following program is brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, and the views expressed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station.
All right, this is Scott.
This is Pat.
We've got kind of a lousy program for you this week.
What?
I'm just kidding. Of course, it's another
great
program.
That's our best ever.
Hey, we're going to talk about the importance of being ready for retirement, whether you plan on retiring now or not, being ready and what that can do for you.
We're also going to talk a little bit about a retirement tune-up. You'll understand what that means when you listen to the show.
That's right. So stick around for Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining
us.
That's
right. Glad you're here with us on this weekend. Assuming you're listening to us live or a podcast, who knows what day of the week it is. Anyway. Both myself and my co-host here, we're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself, and we come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. And been doing this for a long time. And
20-some, doing the radio show for 21 years?
Yeah, and love taking your calls if something's on your mind regarding anything financial. So it might have to do with your retirement or your retirement savings. Wondering if you've got the right kind of allocation, if you've got enough money saved for retirement. Maybe you're looking at doing some estate planning and trying to get things in order there.
Maybe you got a couple kids going to college.
Yeah, it is.
Or
that
about
time.
To. Or maybe you just got some new little ones around the house and you're trying to save for college.
Anything financial, would love to take your call. And to join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, simply call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766, and would love to take your call.
And that's we tried to get an 800 number, but the band Hanson had it. Is that band still around?
I don't think the band Hanson had the number.
Did it? Didn't we try to get a website or Hanson or something with Hanson?
There was a locksmith in San Diego.
Oh.
That was just one of those local 800 numbers, and we tried buying it, but he wanted to charge too much.
Cut loose of it. Wasn't there a band named Hanson, though, for a while? Is there a band named Hanson?
Yes,
are they still around?
Oh, they're huge.
Like U2?
They're playing at the Indian casinos. It's not the larger Indian casinos, the smaller ones.
The smaller ones. The ones that haven't built the permanent structure yet. The tent ones.
I'm assuming they're still around. I have no idea. Anyway, if you want to join us, 1-888-2-HANSON, and we'll not talk about rock bands or anything. Or pop bands, I guess, would be a better
one. I don't.
Hey, why don't we go right to the calls here, and let's start off in Washington State with Marcus. Marcus, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, glad you called, Marcus.
What can we do for you?
Hey, so I just had a simple question. It's more a general question, I guess, in the sense of, so I'm younger. I'm married. I don't make a lot of money, but want to get into investing. Maybe outside, like I do have a 401k through my work,
mm-hmm.
But just kind of wanted to do something, do more, whatever I can to save up for retirement.
So are you putting money into your 401k now?
Yeah.
And are you putting the maximum into the 401k?
No. Like right, well... No, I'm not.
Okay.
Here's one thing. All right, so we'll give you some ideas, but I'll be real frank with you. Your best way to make wealth is not by trying to be a better investor. It's going to be based upon how do you better your career. So whatever time you could spend saying, how can Marcus make himself more employable? How can Marcus make himself so he's more valuable at the marketplace?
How does Marcus decide how he's going to improve his skills so that he brings more value to those people willing to pay for it?
Truly, because you're not gonna get to the point where you're gonna be able to pick stocks so well that you're gonna take a small portfolio and turn it into to millions.
How old a man are you, Marcus?
22.
Okay.
Oh, 22.
This is awesome.
The fact that you're calm,
this is
you're
great.
Even thinking about this stuff at 22 is you're way ahead of the game, and you're putting money in your 401k at 22.
And
I thought this generation you guys were supposed to be a bunch of slackers. And
yeah.
Stuff, no.
Every generation. Every generation, the one behind them is slackers. Never anyone's as good as the generation they're in today.
That's right.
So Marcus, tell me about your educational background, and if you don't go to college, I think that's absolutely fine if you have not. Gone to college?
Well, I actually just started going back to it because I wanted to move up in the company. So,
Perfect. Perfect. So here's the thing is, there's lots and lots of ways to make money that don't require a college degree, but you still have to bring value to the marketplace.
Yeah, but it sounds like where he's at, this is the way he's going to add value.
And he's marketplace. Well, good for you. So other than that,
what kind of advice are you looking for? Save 10% of your income and focus on your career, and you don't have anything to worry about.
I would take that up, Scott. I don't think 10% is enough.
All right, 15%.
Okay. 15% into your company 401k. Put it all in stocks. Not a penny of it goes to bond or fixed income. All of it goes to stocks. 75% of it, that stock should be in the U.S., and 25% should be outside of the United States. Don't touch it. Don't worry about it. Put the 15% in there and let it go.
Okay.
Just let it go.
Perfect.
And then study hard in school and get good grades and ask for promotions every chance you get.
Get good grades.
Yeah.
What?
Right? Just go out. You get good enough. Learn what you need to learn.
Yeah, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Remember, the kid graduates, not the school. I tell my friends, my friends of my children's friends that all the time. It's not where you go to school. It's more what you do with it. With the skills you learn at school that matter.
Of course.
So, appreciate the call.
Yeah, good luck, Marcus. You know, it's funny, but I remember some classes I took in college. You know, there's certain GE classes that you're forced to take. And one was Chicano literature, which I remember the time thinking, how is this going to help me? I understand the idea of some liberal arts education also, but... Also, I remember in college thinking,
I disagree with them, but I understand.
What areas do I really need to learn?
Yeah.
And what are some my finance classes and economics classes?
You weren't
classes
going to monetize the Chicano literature class.
No. Although there's fine literature.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, but you think about, so when you said, when you didn't think about it, I got to tell you, it occurred to me the other day. When I was 16, I worked at a restaurant.
This guy's 22, listens to our podcast. He'll call from Washington
State. When I was 16, I worked at a restaurant as a busboy. And the restaurant chain was bought by Pillsbury. And the corporate guys...
The Doughboy?
They think that was their mascot. I don't believe that Pillsbury Doughboy was actually running the company.
I probably don't have the... Is the Doughboy still out there?
I don't know.
Because most of them do not want to look like the Doughboy.
Yeah, they're skinny. He's an anorexic Doughboy now. He's a really skinny guy.
He's all buff.
He's like, I eat biscuits. But I asked. I was 16, and the corporate guy comes out there telling how great it's going to be. And I asked the question. And at the time, people started laughing at me in this meeting. I was a little embarrassed. I raised my hand. They said, any questions? I raised my hand, and I said, will there be any sort of a stock purchase program that we could buy shares into Pillsbury at a discount if need be or we want to? And all the people that worked in the restaurant started laughing at me. And I thought, why are you laughing? I mean, this is a serious question. And then I realized it was because I was 16 that they were laughing at me.
And I think a lot of people in the restaurant industry are just there kind of for a job. No?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not planning on staying with Pillsbury.
Well, I wasn't planning on staying with Pillsbury. I was trying to move up the corporate structure. Anyway, let's go to the phones. If you'd like to join the show, 888-2-HANSEN. That's 888-242-6766. 888-242-6766. And you can always go to our website, HansenMcLean.com.
Let's talk with Curtis in Sacramento. Curtis, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. How you guys doing?
Great.
I was trying to figure out how should I invest or start to save money for my kids' college fund.
I looked
at the 529. I have concerns with it because of penalties, and you can only use it for certain things. So could you use some guidance on saving money for college?
Well, so the 529 plans can be used not just for college, but for also some other trade schools, any sort of secondary education. So if the plan is if your goal is to have the money set aside for education, post-high school education and training, the 529s can't be beat. All right. So if your concern is like, well, maybe I want the dollars to be used for something else, that's where 529 has some drawbacks to it. But having said that, I got to say, here's what we really like about the 529 plans. First of all, they're easy to set up and to contribute to.
Easy to administer.
Really simple. The costs are fairly low.
Yep.
The money grows tax deferred. And as long as the money is used for educational purposes, including room and board.
And remember, you can change the beneficiary of it at any time.
It's tax-free. Yeah, so the money can be all tax-free.
So I've used them. Scott, you've used them. In fact, my oldest son, we're just drawing off the last of his first senior year.
And I've got two kids. My daughter actually thought I'd overfunded it a bit, but then she tells me she's going to grad school. So, and then my younger son went to a school a little more expensive than I had.
So here's one of the things to keep in mind, Curtis. If you look at the 529, every state has a different plan. So it's a weird thing because the state can only sponsor one plan at a time. And the state of California has changed their sponsor
three times,
maybe
switch back.
Four, and they switched
TIA
back.
Craft to Fidelity, back to TIA Craft.
So the state plan that we recommend you look at is the state of Utah's plan.
Or California. They're both. Utah uses the Vanguard funds.
Yeah, a little bit less expensive.
What is it? I mean, so the thing about the 529 plans, it's the ease of administration. Because if you think, all right, so how else are we going to structure it if you want to save money for your kids, tax advantaged? You'd have to set up what's called the Uniform Transfer to Minors Act, UTMA or UGMA account.
Which is more cumbersome. The dollars actually will go to the child.
Regardless.
Regardless of the kid, you know. We all hope the best for our children. But then doesn't always work out. Just saying. They don't all go to college. They don't all, you know, turn into the most productive citizens. But you certainly don't want to put fuel on the fire by giving your 18 or 21-year-old $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 that you wanted them to use for college.
I had a client, Pat, we were dealing with this very issue. They had a child that had some drug and substance abuse problems. There was money set aside. They had set up this account prior to our relationship with them. And so they were trying to figure out, they didn't want their son to know about these dollars. And essentially, they just kind of hid it from him for a long time. And
hoping that he would never find out because the money wasn't going to help the substance abuse problem.
That was exactly it. It was to age 21. They can petition it to age 24, but they said that, like, we don't know what's going to happen by that point.
Yeah.
You've seen that too.
Yeah, actually what I did is I had the client set up a little one and let the kid find it, and then the big one we kept hitting. So the kid actually stumbled across like $2,000 or $3,000 thinking this was it. But there was a big one hidden in the background.
Yeah.
You just gotta give him a little.
Is that how you really the 529 plans are probably
We manage over $2 billion. We have thousands of clients we work with, and you and myself both have used these from beginning to end with our own children.
Yeah, beginning to end.
Yeah. Which was a
not
weird.
End in college.
Well, which is a weird concept for me because I've never actually taken money out of accounts to actually spend to consume. That was the first time digging into
for
these,
you?
For 529 plans to do that. Yeah.
Did you ever bought a car?
I mean, keep the money. I don't take it from my investment accounts to buy a car.
Where do they come from? A mattress?
Where do you keep your money? Yeah. Am I buried in my backyard like everyone else? Where I keep it? None of your business where I keep my money.
None of your business. Okay. So, hey, Pat and I had some discussion about this prior to the show and whether we should even bring it up because it's kind of depressing.
Yeah.
But, and this has to do with a divorce at a later stage in life. Gray divorce, as some people are calling it. Although most of us don't turn gray anymore because we dye our hair. Not men, but the women, right?
I'm not weighing in. I don't see any upside in that. Why don't you ask the women in the office?
No, I'm not going to do that. I just know my...
You got that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact is we're seeing more and more people getting divorced at age 50 and above. These are age people. 50 and older that have been married for 20 plus years. And over the last 30 years, the rate of divorce has more than doubled in that group. So, but the thing is, from a financial standpoint.
Well, then the size of that group has expanded.
No, it's per every 1,000. I was trying to look where the number
is. Okay, thank you.
Well, what's the difference? It's
Well, because the difference is.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's tripled since 1990. Six people per 1,000 married people. Six out of 1,000.
So the number has gone up significantly.
Tripled.
As a percentage.
The challenge is, if you're getting closer to retirement and suddenly you're getting divorced. Have you ever seen. I mean, we've certainly had a lot of clients get divorced.
Not because they were clients of our firm. We just happened to be there.
After working with Pat for a while.
They're like, we're out.
We're done. Final straw. But from a financial standpoint, it is just.
It's very, very devastating. And obviously, any divorce is emotionally traumatic, but becomes especially emotionally traumatic if you're close to leaving the workforce and if you have adult children. So what we try to do when it happens with existing clients is we actually get involved in the process in the division of the assets.
I met Pat a couple weeks ago, a friend of mine going through divorce, roughly age 50. And so that they have that he had some assets, savings assets. She had some. Both had 401ks and Roths. And the one party said to the other, look, you've got $12,000 more in your accounts than I do. So you pay me $6,000. We'll call it even.
Nope.
So this other person came and said, well, how do we value this? And I said, we have to look at an after-tax basis in all these.
Everything has to be brought to an after-tax basis.
Yeah, so went through the numbers and said, well, the 401k is yet to be taxed. The Roth is tax-free. So we went through the numbers and I said, actually, it's the other way around. The one party's not paying the other party $6,000. Should be
because
the secondary party has to pay.
Because the value of money in a Roth IRA account is actually worth about 50% more than money in a regular IRA, because it comes out tax free. So you can't compare apples to apples.
Yeah, so $150,000 IRA is equal to about $100,000 Roth.
Correct.
Give or take.
Correct.
Depending on your taxes.
Correct. For most people, money in a brokerage account, you've got to apply capital gains on it. Money in a house, you have to actually take about 6 or 7%, which is the cost of disposal of the asset. And that's how you bring it through the divorce. But the reality is it's financially devastating in the gray divorce.
But if you are going through that, talk with someone, either an accountant or a financial advisor, to help you figure out, you know, so you can have apples to apples comparison here.
Yeah, and preferably someone that you and your soon-to-be ex-spouse agree on. Because you've done it more than a couple times, I know, Scott. With clients sit down and say, this is how this should be divided. And I don't have a dog in this fight. This is how it's even. And I know I've done it, unfortunately, at least a half dozen times.
Right.
At least a half dozen times.
Our advice to you is
don't get divorced.
Don't get divorced.
Get the counseling. I'll give you the name of a couple really good ones. I got a whole Rolodex of them. I have a whole Rolodex.
All right. Enough on that.
All right.
Anything financial, would love to take your call. And to join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, simply call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. And would love to take your call.
I wanted to talk about this UPS thing.
Yes.
Can we talk about this UPS thing? United Parcel Service is freezing their pension plan for 70,000 non-U.S. Employees.
Non-union.
Non-union employees.
U.S. employees.
U.S. employees. 70,000 non-union. So they...
I'm amazed that they still had a traditional pension plan up until this time. That's what I thought was most surprising about the story.
So right now, approximately 6% of private employers have what is called a defined benefit pension plan in some form or fashion.
And that just means that your benefits defined by the company you work for us 30 years, you get X dollars per month or whatever.
Yes. versus, and most of those are union jobs that have those, versus public pensions, which have a lot more defined benefit pension plans, north of 50%.
But in California, just about every one of them.
Just about everyone in the state of California, but nationally, north of 50% of public employees have a defined benefit pension plan. So UPS joins the likes of DuPont, Lockheed Martin, in freezing their pension benefits over the last couple years. So the reason I mention this, the reason I want to talk about this is that even if you're a public employee, even if you have a promised pension from your employer, public or private, whether you work for a big company or a small company, if you have a defined benefit pension plan, which says I work there for X amount of years, they have to give me dollars. If you are more than 5 years away from retirement, don't count on it. Don't make it 100% certainty that that is going to be as it is today. Still make the maximum contributions into your 401k or 403b.
I met with someone last few weeks that was that issue. They worked for a company. I forget how many years they've been with the company, but it was 28 years or something. But the company had frozen their pension when before he reached age 50, and there was a magical 75 or 70, whatever the rule was at that company. But they had changed it before he was vested.
Like they could have done it a day before.
Before he's vested, correct.
Yeah. And once an unvested pension is exactly that, it's not a completed promise. And even if it is a completed promise, these defined benefit pension plans, look at the airline pilots at United Airlines years ago. When United Airlines went into bankruptcy, what did they do?
They got rid of the pensions.
And even if you had been retired for 5 or 10 or 15 years and you were receiving a pension benefit, you lost part of it. Now you're going to say, hey, Pat, because you listen to the show, you say, hey, Pat, what about the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, which is the quasi-FDIC for pensions? I would say to you, that's a really good point. But the FDC, Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, have limits on what
that's
they
right.
insure to. And it depends on how old you are on the day you retire. So the point of talking about the 70,000 UPS workers that have their pensions frozen is for all of you, public and private. Even if you have a defined benefit pension plan that you are counting on, please, please continue to use your 401ks or 403bs or 457s, your plans that you can contribute to your retirement, because while you might believe it's there, no one knows. And these are assets the companies are responsible for. And these companies are coming up short.
The 100 largest corporate defined benefit pension plans. Okay, so the 100 largest pension plans doesn't. Like a lot of the newer companies don't have these pension plans. So these are the companies with these pension plans. The 100 largest.
Yeah, like Google wouldn't have one.
No.
PayPal wouldn't have one.
Facebook doesn't have one.
Walmart doesn't have one.
The shortfall is $279
billion. $279 for the top 100.
Yeah. Tremendous shortfalls in these pensions.
So
and I tell you, here's what's going to be interesting. So if you're a public
employee. Did you say $279 billion?
That's correct.
So the average.
It's $2.8 billion.
It's $2.8 billion. And this isn't a cause for concern.
If you're a public employee, I think what is going to be interesting to watch the next year or two is Illinois.
Oh, yes.
Watch what happens with Illinois, because
it looks like they're going to.
Some other states look bad, like California looks in pretty bad shape with a lot of its pension obligations. But, boy, Illinois is a real mess.
And they're talking about filing for bankruptcy. No one actually knows if they can. They're looking to Puerto Rico. It's a Puerto Rico.
Yeah,
they're looking
to Puerto Rico.
They're looking to Puerto Rico to say how that was worked out. And why would we talk about states? So even if you're a public employee and you think that pension is there and guaranteed for life, I hope it is. It very well may be. But don't bet. You know, it's okay if you die with money left over. It's not okay if you run out. That's why you should save. And all retirement savings is really postponing gratification. That's what it is. I'm taking money that I can spend today and deciding that I'm going to spend it some point in the future.
Yeah. All right. Before we take a break here, I want to we want to let everyone know about some workshops we've got coming up. We've done a number of our workshops on our 7 personal decision points for retirement transition, which are phenomenal. But we've got some coming up on Social Security, and it's really about integrating your Social Security with everything else that's going on in your financial life. And Social Security is quite complex, as you know. And so we've got a workshop. If you've got some good, you know, if you've saved for retirement and you want to figure out how do you maximize Social Security.
And when do you take it?
How do you coordinate it all properly?
My spouse or me or both of us.
So we've got 3 in Denver area the week of August 9th. And the Bay Area, we've got a couple the week of August 9th as well. And in Sacramento, we've got 3 the week of August 16th. So just go to HanselMcLean.com on the workshop tab and you get all the information you need and you can sign up. Again, HanselMcLean.com will give you the information on the Social Security workshops. And to join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, simply call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766, and we'd love to take your call. We're taking a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue. 1-888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLean.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
All right, we're back with you, Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Your host of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Glad you're sticking around here with us as we talk about financial matters. And if you want to join us, 1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-2-HANSON. And let's go right to the calls here. Let's talk with Brian. Brian, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, thanks for taking my call today, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got a question. I'm going to be coming into my inheritance, and I need to do something to stabilize my retirement.
Okay.
So I figure you guys would be good to ask about that.
Okay. If you inherit enough money, you don't need to worry about your retirement. How's that?
No, I wish okay. I wish I didn't have to make this call. I wish I was inheriting that kind of money, but I'm not. I'm going to have like $60,000 to $80,000 to invest or do something to secure myself for my retirement.
Okay.
I'm still 20 years from retiring, but I figured now is better than never.
Are you married?
Nope, single.
When are you receiving these dollars?
Within a month.
Okay.
And do you have money in a 401k or an IRA or any money saved for retirement?
Yeah, I've got a 401k going through work.
And what's the approximate value?
$55,000.
How old are you, Brian?
I'm 50.
Do you own a home?
No, I do not.
Do you want to own a home?
I was thinking about owning a home, but I was thinking if I bought a home, I'd want to. I definitely don't think I want to buy a home in California, though.
So here's part of our belief.
All right.
One of the foundations, the best foundations for a solid retirement is having a home, whether it's paid for or not. Owning a home.
And why is that, Scott?
Because inflation.
It will keep up with the inflation. Where rents will continue
to rise.
To rise.
If you have a mortgage payment of, I don't care what the number is, it's fixed. Doesn't matter how high inflation is. The bank's never going to say, oh, inflation was 6% last year. We're raising your mortgage payment by 6%. Doesn't work that way. It's fixed.
And even in an environment where inflation doesn't exist, like now.
But we're still seeing rent increases.
But we're still seeing rent increases.
So there's clearly inflation there.
Correct. So our druthers would be that you would purchase a home. And even, even if...
Or maybe depending on where you think you might want to retire, buying a rental there now.
That's not a bad idea. So yeah, do you know where you want to retire?
No, I do not, actually. I was thinking of maybe retiring in Mexico or something. Somewhere cheaper.
Well, don't buy a house in Mexico.
Yeah. So other than that, I would take the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I'd probably, I'm going to say the S&P 500, but.
Yes, here's the challenge. Here's the challenge you have, Brian. You get these dollars, you put them to work you invest them somewhere. They're new dollars to you. You're going to view those dollars differently than, say, your 401k that you've been saving up over the years. Our concern is, regardless of what you buy, there will be, unless it's sitting in the bank, there'll be some period where the value of that investment will fall. Whether it's real estate or stocks or even bonds, I don't care what it is. it's going to have a decline in value unless it's just sitting in the bank at some point in the future. Our concern is that you go and invest it somewhere and you have this decline and you think, oh.
Yeah, so you put in $80,000 and you happen to put it in where there's market turmoil in the next 6, 8, 10 months. No one knows when it's going to come. We know it will happen. Yep. And the portfolio drops to from $80,000, let's say, to $65,000. It's how you're going to react to that. Is the danger, not the investment itself.
That's right.
If you bought the standard S&P 500.
All right.
So in saying that, I'd still buy a balanced portfolio. I wouldn't put it all in the S&P 500, but I would buy a balanced portfolio. Scott, you want to weigh in here?
Yeah. Well, one thing is trying to get as much of this into a Roth. So put $6,500 into a Roth IRA for this current calendar year. You could do that every year going forward, assuming you're not doing that now.
And assuming your income allows for it, approximately how much money do you make a year?
Right about $50,000.
Yeah. You can funnel this stuff in the Roth would be, I mean, a perfect world, you would get these dollars shifted over to a Roth over the next several years. If you told me you were never going to look at this, if you said, hey, this is going to be in a blind trust, I'm not going to look at it for 10 years. We would say put it in either the total stock market or the S&P 500 because over the long period of time, you got a high probability of a good outcome. But short period of time, it's anyone's guess. So it might be better to start a little more on the conservative side. And
do a balanced portfolio.
Yeah. So I'd look at maybe.
Right. I'm going to say it.
What are you going to say?
Target date fund.
A target date fund wouldn't be bad for you.
What would be his target date? He's 50. How old are you? Said you were 50 years of age.
2030, 2035.
Yeah. Yeah. So what what a target date fund does is it builds a portfolio based upon when you think you're going to need the money, and it becomes more conservative closer to that date. So if you went out and bought a target date fund of 2030, 2035, it actually does it for you. With this, so this is what scares me about this money to you is not only how you're going to manage it. It's who you're going to run in that's going to try to talk you into
a product.
A product.
Because it's not. Here's the real challenge. Let's cut to the chase here. There's not $60,000 to $80,000 is, I'll be real honest here, it's not really enough money to go hire a great financial advisor.
A great financial advisor, not going to.
They're going to say, Brian, I'm sure you're a nice guy, but unless we charge you a bunch of fees every year, you wrote us a big check every year, there's not enough assets for us to manage. This is just the industry. But
who will see you?
Someone who sells an insurance product, because they can get a 5 or 6 or 7% commission by locking your money up for years. So the concern here is that you go and talk to someone who sells you some product to generate a commission, and then you're stuck many years in a product that's not right for you.
You go, when you inherit this money and you go down to the bank and you put it in the bank account,
they're going to refer you to
they're going to push you over to someone in the corner who is nicely dressed and says, you should talk to our wealth manager or whatever title they give them. And they push you over the corner and they're like, oh, Brian, let me show you something that is going to change your life. Right. They're like, this is going to be the greatest thing ever, and it will probably end up being a big fat commissioned annuity with a long surrender charge. So if you were I would go to a
the target date fund.
Yeah.
Get one of the big one of the big discount mutual fund families.
Yeah, and buy a target date fund.
Yeah,
and
that's what I would do. If you're my brother, that's exactly what I'd be
doing. Well, actually, if it was your brother, you'd manage it for him. I was going to use that analogy because I've managed my brother's portfolios that's less than our account minimums.
But if you're my he's 50, I'm 50, so if my brother, we'd be my twin brother. So we may not like each other this point in life.
So, Brian, stay away from anyone that wears a suit that costs more than $800.
A target date fund. That's exactly what I do. And
all right, cool.
To perfect upon this, I would put $6,500 in a Roth IRA in the target date fund and the rest outside. And then every year I would move a portion into that Roth IRA. Second question.
On this my inheritance, am I going to have to pay taxes on that?
Not at all.
No.
Unless it's an IRA.
Or an annuity.
or an annuity or savings bonds?
Nope, it's just we sold all of my mom's.
No taxes.
We took care of my mom's trust and all that. Yeah. So
sorry about losing your mom.
So the estate may have to file a final tax return. The estate may have to file a final tax return, but you personally will not pay taxes on it. All righty?
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much for your help today, guys.
All right. Good luck, Brian.
It's hard because given in the advice, if you could see Scott and myself, we're looking at each other. We know what he should do. But what he really should do is go find a great financial advisor to help him. But the reality is he doesn't have enough money to hire a great financial advisor. So he's going to end up with some commission salesperson cramming expensive product down his throat that will not be in his best interest. So target date fund, not the greatest thing in the world, but it's not going to mess him up. Like if he goes to...
So, you know, it's interesting. So there, I sometimes read how... I've read articles why target date funds are bad.
Compared to what?
Right. And I think there's a place for them.
Here.
And if someone's got the 401k and they don't know how to... maybe they're not that competent on picking their options?
What's wrong with them? They're not... It is a solid... On a grading scale,
it is a
solid B.
B
plus.
B, yeah. Yeah, I'd give you that. Yeah.
So it's not a D or an F. It's not an A plus.
Okay.
it's not even a C or a D. I'm just showing off now.
But then again, I was a C student in high school. So
did you read that study? Portions.
I had a 2.2 GPA in high school. I don't know why I'm saying this. So if your kid has a 2.2 GPA, actually, I've told a lot of friends this. They'd be so frustrated because their kids.
Yeah, don't tell them.
These sharp young kids, but they weren't doing that good in high school. They'd be so frustrated. And I'd say, well, here's my
valedictorians. The study was done where did the average valedictorian end up in their career?
Oh, interesting.
And
I can tell you I wasn't the valedictorian.
Well, unless everyone else in your school was really, really bad.
We found a small private school for special. Anyway.
So most of them didn't go on to run, open their own businesses. They had a tendency not to be in the creative side, but they were successful in their careers, just not a stellar success like they were in high school because they had a tendency to follow rules and programs already in place. So there you go. So that 2.2 is really paying off for you. How could you get a 2.2 in high school? It was high school, for goodness sakes. You could get a 3.5.
I'm going to be real transparent here.
Okay.
Here's how I did things.
Okay. All right. So,
I'm trying to give hope to.
Listen, if you're a counselor and you want a new client.
I had a trigonometry class. I've always been good at math. I don't think I've ever liked someone else telling me how I'm supposed to live my life.
Okay.
I think that's part of it. I had a trigonometry class. And the first day of school, he gives out his grading. Here's how he's going to grade. And it's based on a test. If you get an A plus, you get 14 points. You get an A, it's 13 points, etc. I still remember the grid. And I remember looking at it. There's like five tests throughout the year. And I remember looking. I thought, wait a minute. If I get an A on the first test, I can get an F the rest of the semester, and I'm guaranteed a C in the class.
And you?
C's a degree. That was my viewpoint in high school.
Right.
So
did you get an A on the first test?
Yes.
And then?
I never did anything since then.
You didn't?
Nothing.
Like not even take the test?
I didn't do homework. I would come in and I'd ask for the hall pass and I'd go get a cup of coffee and a cinnamon roll in the cafeteria. And I would talk to the, we called them narcs back then. There was a lady, I forget her name, but I would sit and talk to her in the
campus,
quad. Because they knew kids like me.
Security.
I wasn't a bad kid. Wasn't getting in any trouble. I just wasn't motivated at school at that point. I don't know why that was me.
All right. Don't tell anyone else that story.
And I look at the funny thing
Are your kids like that?
My daughter didn't have she was kind of similar in high school. She did. But in college, she did 27 units last year.
I was telling my son that the other day. I told my son that your daughter took 27 units.
She's not at Harvard. Okay, so she's at a smaller liberal arts school. And so she had three of those classes. She did through a junior college, through an online course.
And just crushes.
And she did some of the tougher classes there. And those are just pass-fail. So she says, Dad, I only need to get like a 72% there, and I get the credit, and it doesn't go against my GPA at the university.
Your daughter is most certainly got so your gene there.
She's like, I'm telling, and we're getting the, like, Jasmine's like, come on, move along. No one wants to hear my life story.
All right, let's go to the call.
My daughter's life story. But you know what? Whether that's a good thing or bad thing, it depends, I think, how you look at things.
Yes. Right?
Because I, in retrospect, I probably should have paid attention to Trish.
A little bit.
All right, now let's switch and talk about real advice. And this is the part of our program where we talk with a real-life financial advisor of Hanson McLean and hear about a story that they, something they dealt with a client. Sometimes it's a little unusual or something.
A little offbeat. But we ask the advisors in the firm to share with us examples of different situations that were either complex or would be of interest to other people.
Yeah, be of interest.
Remember, this is this particular client's experience. You may or may not have the same experience.
Yeah.
That's a disclaimer.
There we go. And so this week we got on Barbara Healy. And Barbara Healy is a certified financial planner professional. She's also a chartered financial consultant. She's got over 20 years of experience in financial services and has been with Hanson McLean for more than a decade. Big outdoor enthusiast. And her husband always take interesting
trips. Yeah, always well. Going to...
Once a year, do something kind of bizarre. Anyway, Barbara, welcome to Hanson McLean.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What was the last trip you guys took of an interesting trip?
Down to Patagonia and Peru. Did some hiking. But this year is bucket list. This year is Tibet and Myanmar.
Oh, is that to meet
Myanmar
the Dalai...
Myanmar would be interesting.
To meet the Dalai Lama?
Yes. Yes. Oh, I've already met him.
Come on. All right. The Dalai Lama.
What do I know about the Dalai Lama is pretty much what...
Remember, he's hanging out. Allowed back in Tibet.
Just what we learned.
Myanmar would be interesting.
Myanmar. Whatever anyway. We learned watching Caddyshack.
Okay. No one wants to hear any more about Barbara's chat. So, Barbara, tell us about an experience you had with an individual or a couple or whatever.
Sure. It was a lady. I met her about 5 years ago when she was 56 and a recent widow. So her plan was to work until 70. And I suppose when you lose your spouse young, you're not thinking about retirement and this great lifestyle. Your primary thought is, how do I get up every day and keep moving? Hmm. You know, I am now responsible. I not only lost my life partner, I lost my financial partner. So I have to fund retirement myself. So she put off the topic of planning and really didn't want to touch on it too much for years and just kind of kept her head down and kept going.
Why?
And that makes sense. I mean,
Barbara, why did she come to our firm, or how did she come to? Was she referred by someone else? Did she? How did? What made her aware of us, and what made her actually reach out and say, "Hey, do you have any ideas?"
A friend of hers was a school teacher, an educator, and we had helped her through the planning process. And after she had lost her husband, her friend said, you know, I think you need to go see Hanson McLean.
All right.
So,
okay.
So referred him.
It was referred in, and she didn't want to touch this topic. And if you think about it, you know, when you've been through such a major transition like that, who wants to get on the scale after Thanksgiving? You know, I wouldn't want to touch that topic because you just think it's so far off, but it was time. So we brought it up again, and she didn't want to change her lifestyle. We just started with, what are you bringing home now? So we pulled together her assets and different income sources, and taken separately, they didn't appear to be much, but when you put it all together, it worked. So here's what she did. A few years ago, she sold her large home with a mortgage and paid cash for a smaller one. And every year she's been determined to max her 401k and her Roth IRA. And also at 60, she became eligible to collect Social Security survivor benefits. And we'll delay, because she made a good income, and we'll delay her own benefit down the road. So the results were, she can now retire in 2 years with no debt, $1 million in assets, producing income, and she can live on under $4,000 a month plus a good-sized travel budget for the first number of years that she retires.
And how old will she be? Is she now, you said, she's 58?
She's now 61.
Okay.
So she can retire in 2 years at 63.
Got it.
And
do you have her taking the survivor benefit on the pension now, the Social Security now? You deferred that till 63, correct?
We'll defer it until she retires because there are some income penalties if you take it.
Okay.
Yep. Exactly right. So here's the takeaway. Her life was upended early, right? Her life just turned upside down. And she would be working until 70 if she wasn't a saver. But she did so many things right. She got out of her mortgage at 50s, She kept her head down, and she had a few layoffs along the way, too. So she wouldn't have survived a lot of that financially had she not been such a saver.
Do you think she wants to retire? Or do you think she just likes the idea of knowing she can retire?
Great question. You probably know the answer to that because we see it a lot with our clients, right? We ran the numbers as if she could retire tomorrow. She was not ready, and we didn't think she was. She still wanted to keep doing something, but knowing that she could gave her all the freedom in the world. In fact, when we went over the analysis, she just, I wish you guys could have seen her reaction. She just started crying. I mean, tears just coming down her face. I gave her a hug and she just sobbed. And she said, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. She was so focused and on just maxing those 401ks and putting into the Roth. And she just never thought it possible. But she had the saving gene in her and she was able to do it. And, you know, I think the takeaway, you guys see this, but money management that we do, right? We manage clients' assets for them, but we have these other credentials, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. It's critical, the money management piece, but these other pieces that we do, the planning piece, that's the real stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I that's where everything is kind of distilled into, are these assets doing what I want them to improve my quality of life?
And Barbara, do you find that you have, being a woman, we have a few.
Yeah, that's how I was going to ask the same question.
Female advisors to Hanson McLean, 30% of our advisors or so are female. Do you find that you have more widowed that come to you than other than some of the male advisors?
I haven't spoken with the male advisors, so I'm not sure, okay. But I would think so. I would suspect because they will. You know, the gal who referred this client in, she wasn't a widow. She had gone through a divorce. So there's a life transition. And those type of things, you want someone to say, listen, I really trust my person. I think you would trust them as well. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Well, Barbara, I'm glad you're here at Hanson McLean and serving clients. And
being with us for so many years. Yeah. And essentially... The Roseville office, our Roseville office, you have mostly women advisors working in that office, do you not?
Yeah. It's very clean and neat with flowers.
You know, only a woman could say that. Had you said that.
I know.
Who was that guy that just had to resign from some board because he said a comment about the women talking the board? Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
High profile thing.
It was an Uber.
That's what it was.
Yeah, it was an Uber.
It was because it was an Uber.
Yeah, it was Uber.
Yeah, that's right.
These guys, I mean, they don't. Anyway, well, Barbara, as always, thank you for being part of the Hanson McLean team.
Yeah.
And if I don't see
you
before you go to Patagonia, be careful.
She just went to Patagonia. You weren't even listening.
Oh, no. What's her next? Oh, Tibet
and Myanmar. Tibet. Everyone's going to Myanmar. Yeah. I don't know anyone's been to Myanmar.
I don't know either.
You couldn't even go there up until a few years ago, right?
That's right. And you had to have a guide. But, you know, when we're in Tibet, we have to have a guide the whole time. They won't let us, you know, it doesn't surprise us. They don't want us going off in certain areas. They want to kind of keep control what we do.
Just stay away from North Korea.
Yeah.
All we can say.
Far away.
All right.
I'm going someplace similar, the Red Roof Inn.
The Red Roof Inn. They still have those hotels?
Yeah, they still have Red Roof Inn.
I apologize to anyone who's involved the Red Roof Inn. Yeah, I appreciate you joining the program. I think it's oftentimes it's those transitional periods in life where people seek out some advice.
Well, you know, this lady the retirement didn't occur the day she met Barbara. She had been saving for it for years and years and years and doing the right things. She just needed a tune-up. She just needed someone to say, well, you can't really stay in that big house and retire with that big mortgage. She needed someone to add the whole thing together and then tell her, you know, if you took some from here and some from here.
Made these adjustments, you'll make this a reality.
You'll make this a reality. It wasn't that, you know, that we've been working with this lady since she was 20 years old. And, you know, she did a great job. And as most people try to do. They know that accumulating is an important part of the retirement process. That, but when it gets down closer to the time you're going to use the money, it, typically we like to see people within 5 years prior to the retirement, where they come in, go through the 7 personal decision points, talk about the concept of retirement, maybe not a full retirement or a partial retirement, and then organize the dollars in such a manner as to make it.
And helping people get to the point where they could retire tomorrow. Suddenly work is no longer an obligation, but it's a choice.
Yeah, it's so much.
It's an option.
It's easier going to work knowing that you don't have to go to work.
Absolutely.
Right? It's your view of the world.
You don't need that paycheck.
Yeah, your view of the world would change a little bit when you're not, you don't have that dark cloud of, will I ever retire, hanging over my head. Right?
Absolutely. And that's why I think it's important that people get their plan. But yes, I think as you said, the woman did the hard work.
She did the hard work.
Saving.
I mean, yeah.
Earlier this week, Pat, I was in the office, walked through the lobby, and if there's ever someone in the lobby, I usually say hello and introduce myself and thank them for being here.
Thanks, Mom and Dad, for coming in.
Have a free cookie, okay? No, and so anyway, this woman's sitting there, and she's and a client, had been a client for a number of years, and she said she just got back from Spain, and she went to the United Kingdom the year before that, and she's going to the next trip. And I said, well, that's wonderful. I says, it sounds to me like you're doing retirement well. And she says, well, thanks to you guys. And I said, oh, no. I said, you're the one who did the hard work saving.
Yes.
Right? So as financial advisors, there's only so much we can do. And as while you hear some good stories like this,
we can't develop someone's discipline for them.
No. And if suddenly you're at a stage in life where you don't have much money saved for retirement, a financial advisor,
they can't.
And you just go find somebody that's going to tell you some story that you want to hear, not that you need to hear, and be sold some big product, which is one of the reasons we're so against commission salespeople in this space. Because they have a financial incentive to sell you something, as opposed to a fee-based advisor who's
they
job is to go along their ride with you.
Do more harm than good.
Anyway, I want to remind you folks that we've got workshops, our Social Security workshops coming up.
In Denver, the week of August 9th, San Francisco Bay Area, week of August 10th, and Sacramento, the week of August 16th. Have all your Social Security questions answered. And understand how it integrates with your long-term financial and retirement planning at these workshops.
And you could get registered or more information, just simply go to HansonMcLean.com. And this music means we're out of time. We're here every weekend on the same station or via podcast. This has been Hanson McLean. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.